Welcome to the most boring episode of Trek Talk.
I remember our floor is Discovery, so if it's anything better than Discovery, then it's all right.
So how's everybody doing in the game?
No, we're done talking about the game.
Yeah, please God, no more game.
And what we can do is throw it straight in the trash can.
Yes, you have the ability.
We do have the ability.
We have the technology. We have the power.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Trek Talk on Sunday morning. I'm TechMan16.
I'm Kirk.
Way to have handy energy there.
Well, I'm still dicking around with this damn PSP.
Yeah, you weren't here last week. No, it was just Handy and I. We were kind of discussing why Handy basically quit the game. You know, he logs in every like couple days to make sure his shield's still up, but that's about it. That was kind of an interesting episode. But, Rescue Ranger, you still here?
Yes, no.
Kirk, you've been playing the game much at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing it.
You know, we didn't really do our prediction thing of what's going to be in this arc.
I think people are so fucking upset about the game that people are just kind of like, eh.
It's true. Hey, did you redeem your whatever they're called, intelligence briefs for officers?
That I did.
I didn't know that until yesterday. I was like, whoa, I can get officer shards? Apparently, if you knew Kira, you could have gotten a lot more officer shards.
I was able to unlock the real Kira.
Yes, I was too. And it seems that... I don't know how I feel about her. She seems... I guess she's great for PvP, right? Just put her below deck to reduce 10% crit chance against players.
I don't know. To be honest, man, I didn't even pay much attention. I'm just my strategy in all this is to
remove the pips. Just clear the pips.
Well, not just that, but my strategy is just to save up and hopefully I can get enough tokens to unlock Weiyun for the strike team. Pretty much it.
Oh, I have, I'm almost there to get Dukat.
I don't have an interceptor.
Yeah, I think I'm building a Kelvin. It's my next ship, so.
Well, actually, I do have an interceptor. And I actually just went to tier, and just went to tier 7 on my D4. But I mean, you know, I have a Katinga and a Valdor, so it's kind of useless.
That's not a bad ship.
It's all right. Welcome to the most boring episode of Trek Talk you've ever witnessed. I'm just checking to make sure I got all my events done.
There's a lot of events. There's like 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah.
I like the strategy of they just give you the missions so you don't have to wait for them and you can just complete them, get them over with.
Yeah.
You participate in Heavy Hitter?
No. Not at all. No, I just did all the kill stuff missions.
Yeah, Heavy Hitter, like I remember my bracket, and it's just like people just keep on going. I was like, oh my god, you guys have no time but to grind. Finished top 10, though.
You know, it sucks. I have all the mats to upgrade all this stuff, but I don't have the fucking... I don't have the Latinum, because I blew through it trying to place in the spend event.
What ship are you talking about?
D4. I just took it to tier 7.
I never built the ship.
It's good. It's decent. I'll max it out eventually. I'm going to upgrade everything because, you know, I don't spend G3 mats on anything. I'm Ops 50 or 45 now. So I don't really spend G3 mats on anything but ships. So it doesn't really matter what I use it on because it's not really necessary.
Still got stuff to upgrade that's G3 related, but, you know, I'm a lower Ops. By the way, I love my Fisha. I send it to every Deep Space Armada. It's awesome. Hey, man, for a lower mid player, it's got a ridiculous warp range. I'm Ops 41. I got my Fisha to tier 7. And tier 7 with Grush, I got a warp range of 185. I've pretty much explored all the possible explored space that I can without having to get a G4 ship that's tiered. I've completed a whole bunch of missions just because I was able to get that warp range. So I think it's a must.
I don't even know what my highest warp is with all the bridge officers and stuff. I know my Valdor is like 175 or 180 without anybody on there. And then
don't forget, you're also level 45, right? So you've got three layers of angels in disguise. So you got three extra, you got a plus 15 warp range on your ship, just base. And I got a T4 Grush, so it gives me 12% extra warp range. So the Fisha right now is warp 144, 146 rather, and then I put Grush on it and gets to 185. And that gets all over the place. I was able to start a 50 rare, the Fisha. And, you know, you have enough power to behind it, and the starter chest for a 50 rare is like 170,000 rare credits. I'm like, that's awesome. That's enough for me to upgrade, like, or do a full G3 pull like every day for about a week. I haven't done the 51 epics yet. I started 151 epic, but I didn't have enough power, so it kind of blew up.
And I ran fucking two solo armadas the other day. And armadas that I normally beat, and then I lost them. I was like, what the hell? I looked, and one of my fucking crews was a PMC crew. I forgot to change it. I was fucking pissed. I was like, god damn it.
Yeah, that's funny. I'm able to get to a 43 uncommon without any buffs now. Because I started racking up all those Bajoran favors. And good lord, they make such a huge difference. I think I got tier 3 on the base hull health. And I think that's a 216% increase to your base hull. So I'm able to easily punch up to a 43 uncommon solo without any buffs, and I have one ship left when it's done. So that is exciting, because then I could start building the favors a lot faster.
How are you?
Not the favors, the what do you call it? The elite credits.
Yeah.
And I could trade them in for more Bajoran tokens and whatever, and get more favors. But yeah, no, I'm
not gonna lie to you. I don't want to play this game anymore. I don't really care about any of it. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you're not the only one.
Well, the only reason I continue to play the game right now is because of this podcast. If this community, like, for some reason dissolved tomorrow, it would be the same exact time that I would quit playing this game.
I think that's how it is for a lot of people. The social element, really. Well, besides the time, the money investment, but the social element is what.
Oh, it's not the social element at this point. It's because we have this podcast, and that's what a lot of people talk about. I'm happy to be a part of it, and I spend a lot of time and effort.
This is a social gathering.
This is a social gathering, but if you'll notice, when we talk about STFC, I really don't give a shit.
That is true.
Yeah, I don't care at all. Full disclosure. I'm playing because I need to keep up with what's going on.
It puts. You watch a lot of the other content creators too, right?
I try to, yes.
Alright, how enthusiastic do they sound about this last DS9 arc?
Diverging, actually. Rev was really excited. DJs is like, I don't give a flying fart about my plasma. Come and take it. I don't care. He was kind of disappointed. Black Half Dan was he the last thing he did. He was like, I don't understand why they're wanting to take plasma. It's not like you can't get it whenever you want. Like, this is stupid. And no one shall. I have not seen anything from him. He is hard to watch, man. Like, no offense to him, and I'm sorry if this gets back to him, but he's dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, he's just dumb. D-U-M-M-M-B. Dumb.
Oh, Mater. Hey, I mean, you know, I guess more power to him for all the followers he's gotten in the past. So, you know.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I can't get more than like 4 minutes before I'm like, I'm out.
That's all right. He doesn't listen to this podcast anyway.
I don't.
I tried to get him on for an interview at one point. He said no. So
that's fine. We got DJs on. That's the only person that matters.
So I actually talked to him recently. And he plays a couple other games, but he said if he wasn't playing, I can't remember what game it was that he was playing, he'd be back playing STFC.
Yeah, we've had people on the show that matter. Anyway, does anybody give a shit about the Army Navy game that just happened?
No.
You can tell I'm just trying to come up with shit to talk about other than this goddamn fucking game.
Who won?
Army.
Awesome.
ESPN didn't really give two craps about it. This is the first year in I think 20 some years that game day did not go to the game and do their pregame from the game.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, well, both of the teams have losing records and logistically, and we're just not going to.
That's because nobody gives it, like, both of the teams, like, nobody gives a shit about them. It was funny. There's a Facebook group I'm in, and this guy posted something about go Navy beat Army, and a bunch of people were like, what are you talking about? And they were like, oh, you know, the Army Navy game. And they were like, what game? And nobody, like, there were people that were like, I didn't realize they had football teams. So like, well, no, it's not the actual Army, it's the Naval Academy, and then it's this. And then they're like, oh yeah, I didn't know that existed. And there are a lot of butthurt people because people are like, no one cares, man.
Am I right in saying that they still, that all of the academies still have height and weight restrictions even for their athletes because they're cadets?
I don't fucking know anything about
it. That is a level of granularity not even I go to.
I knew back in the 60s, 70s, you know, and on into like, that was the major downfall of Army, Navy, Air Force in football, was that they were still holding on to the height and weight restrictions. So you get a whole bunch of like, I'm 6'1" and 180 pounds and I'm, you know, on the offensive line. And so they would always just get pushed around.
Yeah. 6'1" on the offensive line, that's not going to help. That's true though. They ESPN really did kind of really hype up that game, even though they're terrible. I think what Army won like three times in the past like 50 years. I think
that I don't know.
I vaguely remember there was a streak at least in the 2010s where Navy would just like destroy them like years and years in a row. Actually, you know what? Now that I'm curious, let's look it up. How about that? Army Navy game. Wikipedia page. All right. So far, there have been 123 Army and Navy games. Oh, I was right. From 2002 to 2015, Navy beat Army. Then 2016, 2017, 2018, Army wins. 2019, Navy wins. 2020, Army wins. 2021 Navy wins, and then this year in double overtime, Army wins. Yeah,
this year was double overtime. It would have actually been a decent game,
but it was 20-17.
Ooh, yeah, that may have been like a that could have been like a 10-10 game.
I watched it a little bit of it because my wife is, you know, in the military, so she was watching, and I watched the very end of it in the double overtime field goal kick. And so, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'm out of stuff, guys. I'm just sick of talking about the game. And Star Trek content's a little slim. I mean, they got like Star Trek Prodigy. Have you been watching that, Tech? But
I have not, no. And I think I'm going to wait for season to end, and then I'm just going to binge all, I think, 16 episodes.
There's already 15 episodes. They're all there.
And 15? I thought they were going to make 16 before they close out the season.
There's 15 or 16.
Let's check here. This is the power of the internet.
Yes, indeed.
All right. We've got a total. There are 17, so it ends December 29th.
Okay.
So, yeah, part one was only 10 episodes. Part two is also 10 episodes. So I guess I'm going to wait until it finishes before, you know, I really get into it, because I really haven't had the time to watch it.
What streaming service is that on?
Paramount. Mm-hmm. Well, Paramount okay. Plus, but it's also on Nickelodeon, I think.
Gotcha.
I think they finally got where all the Star Trek stuff is on Paramount now, isn't it?
Is it?
I mean, to be fair, that's kind of where it belongs.
Sure, yeah. I think so. You know, it's funny. I think Paramount is the only app that I don't have. I don't have Hulu either, but there's a bunch of apps that I do have. But Paramount is not one of them. I read the reviews for Prodigy for the second season, and I'm actually kind of excited to watch it effectively.
It's like I enjoy it. Not my favorite, but it's, you know, it's cool. It's interesting. Kind of a different take on everything.
I remember our floor is Discovery, so if it's anything better than Discovery, then it's all right.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yep, that is accurate.
Yeah, we love you, Star Trek Discovery. Please don't get canceled, because all your writers will go work on other shows, and we don't want that. Keep your fucking Discovery self-contained to Discovery.
Yes, please, for fuck's sake. Whatever you do.
Yes, please, please, and I guess keep it to Picard too. Don't infiltrate Lower Decks.
Yes, we are not interested.
It's so sad that season one of Star Trek Discovery was its best season. It was trash to begin with.
Was that the one with the racist Klingons?
It was either season one or season two. Oh no! Oh wait, no, that was the first episode with the racist Klingon, where like Klingons to remain Klingon.
No, I'm just talking about how they drew the Klingons. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, like the whole Klingon, like what they look like and the evolution, and it's just odd. Because like Discovery's in there, and it's like. Discovery is after TOS, but before TNG.
No.
Discovery before, right?
Before TOS, 10 years before Kirk.
So how do Klingons go from like lizardy looking, like weird, you know, things, then have like, oh, we've got hair now, and we have, you know, just with little ridges, and then like that look mostly human, and then we get Worf, right? Like.
Let's take Discovery aside for a second. What it used to be was that because of the special effects, the Klingons looked human, but in blackface, effectively. And so...
Right.
And so Enterprise did a retcon of the Klingons with the ridges by introducing the augment virus that removed the forehead ridges and gave them increased strength. And so that was the retcon to why Klingons looked human to TOS, but then you know, with the special effects department and Star Trek 6 introduced Chancellor Gorkon and General Chang, and all of a sudden they have forehead ridges, but nobody understood the change, but obviously it was they had a bigger budget, so but it wasn't so egregious that it's like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, they're Klingons, right? They're supposed to look different. And then, obviously, you know, Worf is Worf and whatnot, and everybody went through, and then they kind of retconned it back, saying, those are Klingons, but we don't talk about it, right? And so it was an internal matter with the Empire about the augment virus. But then here comes Star Trek 2009, I think it was. And then they have these, like, Klingons that look like Jim Hadar with, like, rings on their ridges on their scalp. And then we're like, I guess these are Klingons. And then Discovery just took that idea and went, all right, man, they're going to look like lizards. Let's make them look like, you know, Voldemort had a baby with, you know, Rock or something. And that's how those Klingons came to be. And the prevailing idea that pervaded through the internet was, well, these are Klingons that were living in isolation and they evolved separately to the Klingons that we know. But in reality, they weren't. It was the same houses. And then I'm like, wait, so how do we... But then they tried to retcon them back and say, oh, only during wartime they shaved their heads. And then because it was peaceful time after the war, they regrew their hair. And then you go to DS9 and General Martok is at war with the Dominion and all the Klingons had all their hair. So, Discovery.
Yeah, the Discovery Klingons reminded me a whole lot like they raided the closet of... Do you remember the show back in the 80s called V? Just the letter V? It was the aliens that live amongst us. They really did look like those people.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Well, unless you're like 45 or older, then you probably don't remember it. Because I vaguely remember it when I was really young. Like, I think it was done when I was like it was over by the time I was like 8.
Okay, so, yeah, so that was the 1984 TV series. They remade it in 2020-something. I think that's the one. That's the one I remember watching.
No, I'm talking the original. The original, yeah. Like... I swear to God, they just went to that set and like grabbed all the costumes and said, these are our new Klingons.
Let's see, V, also known as V the Series, is an American science fiction television series that aired in the United States on NBC from October 26, 1984 to March 22, 1985. It is the continuation of the V franchise about an alien invasion of Earth by a carnivorous race of reptilians known as Visitors, which was originally conceived by American writer, producer, and director Kenneth Johnson. Johnson, however, was not involved in the production of the weekly series.
Yeah, I remember going to the theater to see the movie.
The one or the old one? Because I think they remade it.
Oh, the old one. The old one. Yeah. I didn't even know they remade it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just looking at the image. I totally... Okay. I understand what you mean now about the... about the aliens. It looks similar to that Star Trek TNG episode where the reptilians or whatever species took over Starfleet. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody?
No.
Sorry, I was in the drive-thru. I was ordering food.
Right. That's no, but yeah, that's what those aliens remind me of. They remind me of that episode, like the first or second season of TNG. They go back to Starfleet headquarters in San Francisco and notice that all the people are taken over by aliens and they're eating worms and whatever. And yeah.
Yeah. It had to be really early. Cause I think the Crusher, Beverly Crusher, wasn't the doctor yet. If I remember,
she was in the first season and then she was fired after the first season and replaced with Pulaski. And after whoever it was, that was the producer that was fired, they brought her back.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Pulaski sucked ass. It was a terrible fucking character.
Yeah, but, you know, am I right? She was on TOS, right? She had a recurring role in TOS?
Well, it wasn't recurring, but she was there for like 2 episodes, I think.
Gotcha.
She was like the blind lady who was... who's in love with a computer.
All right.
Shades of Lower Decks.
Yeah, that. I was going to say Shades of... well, no, I was thinking of the Orville.
Oh, yeah. No, the Orville. That was such a better romance throughout the show.
And the actor that plays that dude...
Isaac?
Yeah, Isaac, yeah. Like, he's been all over the place. Like, I'm like, oh my, like, I looked at his IMDb, I'm like, oh my gosh, he was that dude, and he was this dude. I was like, I've seen him 100 times, and I just now, like, you know, like, oh, this is what his actual face looks like.
I mean, he showed it prominently in season 3 of Orville.
Right. But I'm saying in all of the other things that he's ever done on his IMDb, like, it's all him dressed up in costume and whatnot. You couldn't recognize him to save your life. Like, it was the first time it's like, oh, just the character as in human form.
Oh, kind of like Doug Jones, right?
Yeah. Or even Andy. Who played Gollum? Andy Skiris? I don't know how to say his last name.
I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah, he's hardly ever in anything without being, like, completely made up.
Yeah, Smeagol. Also was the ape in Planets of the Apes.
Oh, yeah. He's been in a lot of different things. I think he's been in Marvel movies. I think he's been in X-Men movies.
Reminds me of D. Bradley Baker. If you need an animal voice, he's the guy to go to.
I'm sure I know of him. I just am not familiar with him as you say his name.
D. Bradley Baker, what hasn't he done? He's like, you ever watch Avatar The Last Airbender?
Yes.
So he's Appa and Momo and, like, any of the other animals on that show.
Gotcha, okay.
And then he's, if you watch Legend of Korra, he's also Tarlok.
I've never seen that.
It's the continuation of Avatar The Last Airbender. There's also Olmec in Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, okay.
See, what else has he done? Like, he needs an entire separate Wikipedia page for his filmography because it's so freaking long. Let's see. Some of the things we recognize: Angry Beavers, Wild Thornberries, Powerpuff Girls, SpongeBob SquarePants, As Told by Ginger, Harvey Birdman, Fairly Odd Parents, Zeta Project, Samurai Jack, Jackie Chan Adventures.
Jackie Chan Adventures, that was kind of funny.
What's New Scooby-Doo, Invader Zim, Static Shock.
Fun fact, the theme song for What's New Scooby-Doo was performed by Simple Plan. Just as an FYI.
Yeah. He's Klaus in American Dad. Klaus the Fish.
Okay. Yeah. You know, every time I hear Ripper from DJ's show, like, go off and be extra German and you know, whatnot, all I think about is Klaus from American Dad.
Which makes sense, because D. Bradley Baker is German. He was born, well, technically he was born in Indiana, but he's got German ancestry. Anyways.
This episode sucks. I say we scrap it.
We'll do what we can with it.
And what we can do is throw it straight in the trash can.
Yes, you have the ability.
We do have the ability.
We have the technology. We have the power.
It exists. It's new, Putz.
I'm done with my semester, so I have now until the 9th of January off.
Congratulations.
Yes. I've got a little bit of grading to do tonight or tomorrow, and then put in my final grades, and I am officially done.
Officially. How does it feel?
Very good. This semester was interesting.
How so?
Well, I had to, due to low enrollment, instead of doing 3 different sections of algebra-based Physics 1, I did 1 section, but then we turned them all into hybrid classes. So instead of meeting 2 times a week with each of the 3 classes, I met 1 time a week with each of the 3 mini groups, and then combined them in, like, online instruction for the other half of the class together, which made it kind of difficult because I was still having to run 3 labs, but only really getting credit for teaching one, which kind of sucked. So I was doing like three times the work.
Why did that happen? Is it just because of the low enrollment?
Yeah, low enrollment. So like I normally have anywhere between 10 and 20 students in these classes, and I had 3, 5, and I think we started with 6, and I think we ended with 4. So I had 3, 5, and 4 at the end, which really is just basically one class worth of students. But the way we offer them, and for different majors, and for when they need to take them, and for an evening program, I was, yeah. So like every Tuesday, I would do the same thing at 11, and then I would do it again at 3, and then I would do it again at 7 every Tuesday, which kind of blew, but at least I got all my labs done in one day.
So for budgetary reasons, I guess you couldn't combine them all because they're at different times?
Well, they were at different times, and like, for example, like the evening class was for our engineering evening program, and a lot of people work until 5. So like, I couldn't say, oh, well, you 3 students come in at 3 o'clock, right? Just join the 3 o'clock section. And the morning section is designed for our high school students so that it gets over before their extracurriculars start at like 2:30, 2:45 normally. So they didn't want to come in later. So I basically, yeah, it was all time constraints. So instead of canceling one or two of the sections, we just ran them and combined them. Yeah. I did the school a favor. I could have contractually said, no, my contract says I don't have to do this. But then they would have been like, okay, well, then we're going to cancel all 3 classes. And then I may not have had enough classes to make my minimum load requirements for teaching.
That's, yeah, that's school politicking for you, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it is basically the rebound from COVID, where lots of high schools were not pushing their students for the last 2 years to take harder classes or take even college classes. And so a lot of students that would be, oh, I'm a junior or senior, or I'm just out of high school and I'm ready to take the class normally, are still having to take their prerequisites, like their math and whatnot, to get into the class. So I think by next year I may have a very big, very highly attended and registered for classes next year. That's my guess.
I can only assume that the remote learning is only good for like busy professionals that want to get an extra degree on the side. But for somebody who's effectively full-time occupation is going to school, like a student or whatever, remote learning is so, it's just not worth the effort, I guess.
Yeah, and I think there's still a stigma of like, oh, it's just online, I don't need to worry about it, so they don't take it as serious, you know, which...
I remember when I was in grad school, and I was probably immature for when I went to college, and then when I went to grad school, I was probably immature for the course material I was being taught. You know, now, being, you know, over a decade into my profession, like, all that stuff that I learned actually makes sense. It'll be more fun to go back and relearn. But I could have never done it remote. Like, that would have been a death nail.
I hate taking classes remote, which is funny because I'm actually pretty good at teaching them, but I hate taking them.
You got to be a certain type of individual that A, doesn't like human contact, B, has the ability to absorb information in any medium, and see, kind of like process that information when it's necessary. And that is a very, I would gather to say that's a very, very, very small percentage of people taking classes. That is not something that people can just easily do.
I agree.
I know when I was enrolling my kid in the kindergarten, you know, there's a lot of students or a lot of teachers I'm sorry, not teachers. What am I saying? A lot of parents. All these like Zoom calls. I'm asking about, you know, the current standing and the rankings and whatnot, and then like the principal had to like paper everybody down. Like, look, remote learning kind of hasn't, you know, been promoted, or not promoted, but it hasn't really, you know, substituted the scores that we like to see. But I think now with everybody going back, I think we'll see an upward trend in test scores and standardized testing and whatnot going forward.
So much so, the last 2 years, a lot of our high schools in our area did not officially award valedictorian and salutatorian and do any class ranks. Like they would give colleges, just be like, oh, this student, yeah, they were in the top 25% of their class, and that's it. Like they would only break it down in quartiles. They didn't give anybody any of those rewards because or accolades because they were like, well, we didn't offer certain classes and required people to take certain classes, and yeah. It's very interesting that they, a lot of high schools stopped doing that in the last few years.
And it is, I mean, you can't gauge student learning. Like if somebody's not, you know, understanding the material because they're behind a screen, you're not going to know what they don't know.
Right.
And obviously you have the issue of students not asking questions to begin with, even when they're in school, let alone trying to ask questions behind the screen.
Oh, I know. I can remember when we first started, like that March 2020, when we first was like, okay, everything's going remote. We're going to do this all in one fell swoop and blah, 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 blah. And everybody had their face-to-face classes turned into remote. Man, getting people to talk online was just, oh my God. Some of my best students at the beginning of the semester that were very, very engaged and I could always just, you know, I wouldn't even have to ask. I could just look in their direction and they would answer, right? Like they would come up with something or whatnot, keep the flow. That was the superpower that I lost. Face to face, when I'm teaching, like I have the superpower of, all I have to do is look in your general direction and give you a little bit of a look and you will be compelled to speak. Like it doesn't matter what it is. You will start speaking. You will be compelled to say something. And now if you're online, like I don't have that superpower anymore. There's nothing I can do to stare through the camera to be like, talk, answer, say something. Yeah.
The power of putts compels you.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That, and then when we came back, everybody had to wear masks, and I wore a mask, even teaching and talking. And yeah, it was very weird. The facial expressions that I wasn't able to give. Like I even asked my wife, I was like, when I put on this mask, what do I look like? She was like, yeah, you look like Bane is coming to kill you. I'm like, great. That's awesome.
Good. Nice and intimidating, as a teacher should be. I want to pivot now that you mentioned about masks. So one of the things I used to do before kids was my wife and I like to go to plays. And luckily we live in an area where when we were under 30, we can get like tickets for under $30 per person to go and see various plays. So, you know, we'd see something like Pygmalion or you know, like My Fair Lady and things of that nature. I can't remember what play now.
Okay, first of all, hold on, stop. You just said Pygmalion and My Fair Lady, and they're basically the same thing, but you know, never mind.
Yeah, they were both written by George Bernard Shaw, but one was a happy ending, one was not.
Oh, I know. I'm just giving you shit.
Well, it's been a while since we went to one of these plays, so I'm trying to figure out what the name of the play we went to. It. In any case, there was one of them where it was based in old England, and it was about playwright, and everybody was, well, it was like a family, and everybody was using pen names to write their political arguments. But the thing that I most remember about it is the way they enunciate their points was they would really get into the faces of everybody and really bolster, I guess, their punctuations, if you will. And the thing that I remember seeing is that once they say something, you could see the spit like coming out of their mouths and projectiling across the stage. And I'm just like, and so when people had issues wearing masks or whatever, it just brought me back to that mentality. Like if a virus is transmitted through the nose and the mouth, people are very bolsterous in what they're saying. I could totally see, like if you put it like a black light, you could see spit flying everywhere across the room. I'm like, Okay, so the play my wife is telling me is called A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. So it was, so if you have a chance to
I've heard of that one.
Look it up or watch it on YouTube or whatever, please do. It was a fantastic play.
Yeah, the whole spit take thing reminds me of the Friends episode where Joey had gotten a acting gig and he's acting alongside of Gary Oldman. And all they are doing is just, during the rehearsal, they're just pronouncing all of the P's and everything, and they're basically just spitting on each other, like, nose to nose. It was, it has a different context today, because it was kind of gross looking at it. I think I saw the episode a month or two ago, and I was like, that didn't hold up well. Like, that's just a whole bunch of gross. Hey.
What's up, Ark? How's it going?
Not a lot. I was about to commit suicide down there. The conversation was going on.
Ouch.
You don't hear me talking.
I apologize.
No, it's not, I don't know. Plus, it's one of those days.
Oh, and Donald Trump, you suck.
I mean, I have driven my students to leave class. I've driven my students to fall asleep in class, you know. So I totally get it.
Imagine we start doing physics on this podcast with Putz, like, get no viewers. No.
Everyone will just commit suicide.
I will be honest though, anytime I'm listening to DJs and he starts busting out the math, I'm just like, no, like this is a game. I'm here to play a game, not fucking figure out intricate details of how Scopely math works so I can better my meta here.
Now, I get you with that sentiment, but I'm kind of a different thing, because when he starts talking about the math, blah, 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 I'm like, come on, guys, the math isn't hard. Like, it's 30 seconds. Like, why are you taking an hour and a half to, like, try to figure this out? It is clearly this. Yeah, but even then, I mean, I just look at it and go, well, that's obvious that it did this. But that's just the way my brain works. So, like, I look at the math that he's trying to struggle and figure out, and I'm going, it's obviously this.
And then it turns out to be something completely different, like Scopely math does.
Actually, speaking of Scopely math, Putz, did you ever figure out why Changeling Kira doesn't work or works incorrectly?
I don't know exactly. The way the mitigation formula, at least the, there are two different mitigation formulas that I've seen published by content creators that they're not equal. It's not like, oh, this is just a different version, like rearranged. The formulas are fundamentally not equality. So I don't know which one is the actual, if either one of them is. They both operate kind of the same way. And basically how I think Kira works is that with the formula, no matter how low or no matter how many rounds you go with her and her additive ability, she slowly, and when I say slowly, she slowly reduces the mitigation for the opponent. So, and it may take 20 or 30 rounds or something to get it down maybe 5 or 6 or maybe 10% less from the original. But then after it hits basically a, once you go to where the denominator in the fraction is below zero, or not below zero, below one, then it exponentially starts working extremely well. So I have seen battle logs where you could have Kira running and she's slowly, 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 slowly working. And then like all of a sudden, like three rounds and it goes from, oh, the target is mitigating 50 and then 27 and then two, right?
So this is what happens when I don't show up.
We were talking about other things, Handy, before you showed up.
But yeah, it basically looks like a very, very slow degrade, and then all of a sudden it goes exponential. And if you don't kill it in those last two or three rounds as it starts really, really working, then eventually it gets to below zero and the armada just stops. Like, it doesn't complete the armada. Whatever damage is on the armada is there, and it resolves itself and nobody wins.
She's the product of asymptotes on a graph.
Essentially. So the more Kiras that you have in an armada, the faster you can get to that asymptote.
Why have we got an event that's paying out Dabo tokens?
Talking about the Amalgam event?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That actually tracks. I think that there is two separate, completely isolated versions of this game. And that every other month when they do the update, they have one team working on this version, and it's supposed to be the same, but obviously, as they've gone through, there are slight little differences. And it seems like every other month they flip-flop, and you start getting like, oh, this month we have issues with the discovery. And then like 2 months later, you're like, oh, we have issues with the discovery again. I think that's how they do it, that right now, the people from November are the programmers and whatnot that did November's arc are working on January's arc.
That makes a lot of sense. I can see that too, Putz. I agree with you.
Yeah. That they're taking whatever was left over and what the current state of the game was in November, and they're altering it and adding to it, and that's what we're going to get in January. And what we got in December was a updated version of October's game.
Well, the way I see it is you basically have two or three teams and they're working 3 months out on the content or something like that. So it takes them, 3 months to build the content, a month worth of content. And you've got three different teams alternating when the content is released. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I can't tell. I mean, it's just my spidey sense going, well, this is cyclical.
It's logical that it would be like that.
Oh, they just removed it, by the way. They just removed that event. Amalgam. Yeah, I don't see it. It lives here on this podcast, December 11th. There was an event to upgrade your amalgam that was there for like 10 minutes, and now it's gone. Let me just tell you the point system, because I still remember the point system. It was 10 points to build an amalgam, 150 million points to upgrade your amalgam. And if you get 10 points, you got one ROM shard and a couple of Dabo, like 1,000 Dabo tokens. And if you got 150 million points, you got three ROM shards and 2,000 Dabo tokens. Now the event is gone because they fucking magicked it away.
Right. So do you remember when they were messing with the commas and the truncation of like your cargo and your resources? And like 1 month it would be like, you get to see all the numbers. Then the next month it'd be like, oh, 4.2 billion. And then the next month, like it flip-flopped like several months. Like it was like, it's fixed, it's changed, it's back to truncated, it's back to all the numbers. That's what originally thought made me think that you had two different separate teams and two different separate builds of the game, you know, because it was like month one, oh, they did something with this, then they corrected it month two, then it came back in month one or month three because they're using the same shit that they did in month one. That's where I thought, like, that's where it triggered in my brain, like, oh, I think they may be doing this. And ever since then, I've kept seeing more and more stuff like that.
That does make a lot of sense, because it's understandable why the Rialto burn is back now. It's understandable why a lot of things are the way they are.
Something is happening.
Techman is having a child crisis.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
It happens sometimes.
Hey, that's what you happen when you have kids.
Yeah, that's very true. When they get older, they want more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, my son is running down the hallway, sounding like a monkey, going ooh ooh ee ah ah.
Sounds perfectly natural.
Indeed, it's a normal thing. Anyway, we've been up here talking for an hour and 15 minutes, and we ain't said shit.
Do we actually say anything?
I don't know. I was kind of.
And I feel like the shows are pretty good to show up.
It sounds pretty typical.
To be fair, for a while, it was just me and Tech, and then Putz came up, and then Ark was falling asleep, so he decided to join the fray.
I was debating about suicide.
He was debating about suicide. I don't know how to. You know what? I don't know how to take that, because that's a real issue that's afflicting a lot of people.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. If you listen to the Liver King, he could have, you know, you could solve your problems by eating raw liver and bull testicles.
I've eaten raw liver. It's nice. Good.
You know, I don't think anybody's problems are solved by eating raw liver or bull testicles.
Dude, the Liver King looks diseased. He looks like oily, and I don't know.
He says he does. He says he doesn't really shower or brush his teeth because we have mechanisms in place to take care of that.
I mean, we do have those mechanisms in place, but that you know, there is something to be said of, you know, we're social civilized creatures and we don't want to offend others just by, you know, being around them.
No, I don't give a shit about you motherfuckers. I do it to take care of myself.
Yeah, I mean, we have body odor and scents and stuff, and if you wash that stuff off, then we don't smell as bad. And I don't give a fuck what anybody says, but getting that crap off your teeth is good for you.
It just makes you feel better.
Like, yeah, I mean, I can see if you don't eat any, like, if you, like, some fucking caveman, no processed food, just shit you found off a tree, maybe, I guess. I don't know, man. I'm brushing my teeth.
Yeah, but didn't cavemen kind of chew on bark to brush their teeth, kind of?
I don't know. I wasn't around, you know, I missed the meeting.
I know that even to this day, you know, Aboriginal tribes, they use a hollow, it's like willow, but it's like a hollow tube of like a bush, and they break that apart and they use that to clean their teeth.
Yeah, there's always been a way of cleaning teeth, I suppose. I do. Imagine. Do we have any anthropologists lurking about?
So how's everybody doing in the game?
No, we're done talking about the game.
Yeah, please God, no more game. Then I have to drop out of the conversation.
That's why we foray into other topics.
Well, we just naturally do that. But
I will bring up something. On ArcFault, do you guys get annoyed with like how many pings from all the content creators? I think I wake up to like 46 of them. From like 7 different people saying, oh, check out the new content and whatnot. I'm like, I don't care. It's going to suck the first couple of days.
Yeah, it took DJ until Friday to actually release a accurate event calendar that had all of the events with all of the days that they were supposed to run and all of the descriptions. That's how long it took from Monday morning to Friday afternoon for him to get all of that information with all of the events that were not labeled correctly or didn't have dates or just said December as when they were going to happen.
Or like Ops, what, 20 through 99?
December. It was Right. It was December without the R and then didn't have any dates. And they had that listed for like five or six events.
Why are we talking about?
I brought up the pings. How many pings you get on Arcfall Day.
God damn you, Dick.
A lot of pings. Yeah.
So what is Vegas's line on whether or not the Treasury banner will be broken again this month?
You motherfucker.
All right, it's decided. SK, where'd you go?
I made SK leave. I'm so sorry.
I think this month it'll be okay. Next month we'll get the Treasury banner back.
If we do, that would have to be like 100% confirmation that it's like a 2-month cycle.
Check out what DT posted in SDFC talk chat. He's got Ops 52, but an Ops 53 building.
Yeah, well, what is it, the Astronomic Center? Yeah, I had that, yeah. I had that last month before I went up to 53.
There are glitches like that, because I remember there's a glitch like that for Ops 38 or something. You could have an Ops 39 building before you hit Ops 39. So those they do exist.
But that'll help him when he goes to 53, because he won't have to do it. Because that's other than the basic, apart from the dilithium generator A and B in the warehouse and vault, that's all you need to go up to 54.
Oh my god. Talk about the generators. I demand Scopely give us a refund for those.
Sure, you gotta get your what is it, your syndicate up to what, level 35 now? Or 25, somewhere in there?
I think it's after 30 that they start doing something.
I can't remember what. Yeah, I think it's 30. You're right.
All right. All right, gang. I think I'm gonna wrap it up here since all the other clowns left, being Handy and Strange Kirk. Thank you all for listening. I hope this has been fun. We like to diverge to other subjects because sometimes that's more fun to talk about. And again, thank you all for listening. Please like, subscribe, comment, do all the things that social media asks you to do. And for Putz and General Ark and the rest of the crew, see you guys next time. Head to the after party.